Porch Light Family Media,
your source for family-centered content.
PorchLightFamilyMedia.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hello, welcome to Audio Theater Central, the show that's all about family-friendly audio drama. I'm JD.
And I'm Andrew.
This is episode 68. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. As always, we've got a packed show all about, you guessed it, family-friendly audio drama.
Because that's what we do.
Oh, is it? I'd forgotten about that.
I'm sure most of our listeners know that by now.
Well, as you may have noticed, our cohort and partner in crime, Roy, is absent today, but we're going to press on.
Through adversity, as the saying goes, and it's actually kind of appropriate for what we're doing today. I think this adversity compares very well to the story we're about to discuss.
Exactly. Although it kind of pales in comparison.
Just a tad.
Well, we're going to talk about the Plymouth Adventure, Voyage of the Mayflower from the Colonial Radio Theater, a fabulous audio drama. We're going to introduce you to a new series that's going to be launched very shortly. It's called Shadows and Daylight. And I have a mini review at the tail end of this episode for a really cool little series for younger listeners called Deputy Guppy. And we'll let you figure out what that means if you can't tell already, and we'll talk about it a little more later on. Well, without any further ado, since our newsman is gone, let's jump into the review. Well, with Thanksgiving right around the corner, not that far off here in the United States, we figured it was a good time to discuss this story, and I also thought I would mention that a good follow-up after you listen to this one would be Focus on the Family Radio Theater's The Legend of Squanto.
Yeah, it kind of begins where this one leaves off a little bit, huh?
Exactly.
Kind of.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a gap, I think, but...
Or overlap, really.
Right? That's true. But The Plymouth Adventure is, like I said, from the Colonial Radio Theater, released in 1999, so it has been out there for quite a while, but... As I said, with this time of year approaching, I figured it was appropriate. It runs about an hour long, and it really does seem to flow nicely. Sometimes those shorter ones, when you're not trying to fit into that half-hour format, sometimes these ones that are only about an hour either drag a little bit, or they try to compress down to fit into an hour slot, but that's not the case with this one, I don't believe.
So no, they seem to do a pretty good job of keeping the story moving and not giving some sort of filler info that wasn't very important, right? So they hit the balance just perfectly.
Exactly. Well, would you do us the honors?
Certainly. Join the pilgrims as they set sail on a perilous journey to the new world in search of religious freedom. Taken from the actual pages of the Journal of William Bradford, Governor of Plymouth, this audio production brings the trials and tribulations of the pilgrims to life. Many people have heard of what these brave souls endured after they landed at Plymouth. Now listen in on the persecution and betrayals that led up to their sailing from Southampton, England, in 1620.
Fantastic. The main character, Captain Christopher Jones, is played by Jerry Robbins. And as you know from our previous reviews of CRT productions, he is the main writer and director and producer of, I believe, pretty much every CRT production.
I think so. I think he's pretty much the heart and soul of everything that they do. So,
So he was the writer, producer, and director for this production as well. Music was by Jeffrey Gage, who is quite a good composer. I think he's done the music for every one of the CRT productions as well. And the executive producer is Mark Vanderberg. So, again, this group, CRT, has been around for quite a while, and they've been putting out consistently some really good content for many, many years.
And ranging across the spectrum of genres as well, they touch pretty much everything. They're kind of similar to an old-time radio in that you can pretty much find anything from comedy to mystery to science fiction to old westerns, you know, so on and so forth. And everything is very high quality and done really well. So it's an intriguing read to jump on their website and see what they have to offer.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is they also take the same approach as Odyssey and Focus on the Family Radio Theater in that they record all their actors ensemble with an ensemble cast, you know, all in the room together, which, again, is kind of unusual these days. A lot of audio drama not done by, you know, these top production houses is all done remotely.
Right, but it it works. It's obviously the best method, and there's a different level of interaction between the actors when they're all together. And you can hear it in any audio drama that does it that way. You can hear the difference, and that's true for this one as well. I would say the actors are, I don't know what I would call it, maybe semi-professional, right? They aren't Hollywood actors, mm-hmm. as we would hear on like an Adventures in Odyssey or Focus on the Family, but they're not quite maybe, you know, Jonathan Park, where they're just straight amateurs, right? That mm-hmm. They don't have any professional experience at all. A lot of these folks are stage actors, I
exactly.
think.
Exactly, so. Yeah. Well, to give you a taste of this production, in case you haven't heard it yet, let's go ahead and play about 3 minutes of the introduction, kind of... It's kind of setting the stage for what is to come in the story. Let's play that right now.
When, by the travail and diligence of some godly and zealous preachers, and God's blessing on their labors, as in other places of England, many became enlightened by the word of God's grace and began to reform their lives and make conscience of their ways. Both scoffed and scorned by the profane multitude, and the ministers urged them with the yoke of common prayer, or else be silenced. They bore sundry years with much patience. Then, with the coming of King James into England,
my ministers, we shall herewith establish a reformed religion according to the reformed religion of King Edward VI. Retaining or keeping still the spiritual state of the bishops, after the old manner, much varying and differing from the reformed churches of Scotland, France, and the Netherlands, whose reformation is cut or shapen much nearer the first churches, as was used in the apostles' time.
I shall not be subjected to the lordly and tyrannous power of the bishops. It is contrary to the freedom of the gospel.
These prelates would load and burden men's consciences, and by their compulsive power make the profane mixture in things of the worship of God.
So man, therefore, as saw the evil of these things in these parts, and whose heart joined themselves by a covenant of the Lord into a church estate, in the fellowship of the gospel, to walk in all his ways made known, or to be made known unto them, whatever it would cost them.
No! Where are you taking him?
He's going to prison.
No, my family. You can't. What's my crime?
Treason against the church.
They were hunted and persecuted on every side, so as their former afflictions were but as flea bitings in comparison of these which now came upon them. For some were taken and clapped in prison. Others had their houses beset and watched night and day. Most were fain to leave their houses and the means of their livelihood. After they continued together about a year, and kept their meetings every Sabbath in one place or other, exercising the worship of God amongst themselves, notwithstanding all the diligence and malice of their adversaries, they, seeing they could no longer continue in this condition, resolved to get over to Holland as they could. The year was 1607.
As you can tell from that clip, They faced quite a bit of persecution there in the old homeland.
Yeah, this is probably the part of the history that I knew the least about. And so I learned quite a bit from listening to this audio drama, for sure. I Obviously, we all know that they were escaping religious persecution, but I don't. Some of the details were really foggy to me until now. So that's really cool. I like, obviously, learning. I like to learn when I listen to these audio dramas. Like, that's what I always achieve with the Hinty audio dramas, because they go into so much detail about what happened in these periods of history that maybe we haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to. So
sure.
It's kind of neat to hear that.
I suppose I learned this in school, but I didn't recall that they actually went to Holland before they came to the New World. I mean, I didn't remember that at all.
Yeah, that part I did remember, but I didn't realize they lived there for so long, I guess. I also didn't realize that they didn't all make it there in one trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because as we hear, and spoiler alert, but as we hear in the audio drama, they had to make multiple trips, and there were hardships everywhere, because after the way of tyrants, they didn't want them to dissent and they didn't want them to leave. So they if they were caught trying to leave, they were in trouble, and if they were caught trying to stay, they were in trouble. So
yeah.
it was horrible, right? And it leads you to look at what's happening in the US today, even with kind of new eyes, and see that when people stand up and say, you know, this country was founded on escaping religious persecution, and now it's kind of coming full circle, and we're kind of seeing it happen again. Well, it's actually absolutely true, and you can see some of the similarities. I couldn't help of thinking of some of the similarities just in different ways, as far as like secularism persecuting the church instead of, you know, one church persecuting another church, which is a completely different thing. But there were a lot of similarities there, which I found really interesting.
Yeah, and I read several reviews which said that this production is very historically accurate. And as you mentioned in the summary, Jerry Robbins wrote it from the actual words of William Bradford's journal. So, I mean, this is really, really accurate on the details of what went down and why and how it happened and everything.
Right, and one thing I thought was really good is that they did not hold back on the angle of God being involved in what was going on, which I thought was really interesting, because as we probably have mentioned in the past, these are not, as far as we know, they're not overt Christian in their message or anything. I mean, they're just making stories and telling them, right? So
the CRT, that is.
CRT, right, the producers of this. So I thought it was really nice that they didn't circumvent that. They didn't, you know, skirt around it. They didn't beat around the bush. They said it based on, you know, the time and the place, and it was really authentic.
If you want a little behind the scenes on this one, the CRT actually does have their own podcast. In the show notes of this episode is a link to a podcast where they go a little bit behind the scenes on the writing and Jerry Robbins' approach to the script and that kind of thing. I found it very interesting, and one thing that I always wondered from the very time I saw the album cover is why they spelled Plymouth like they did. They spell it Plymouth. And it's because that's the way Bradford wrote it in his journal.
Interesting. I wondered, it's kind of funny because I wondered if that was the case or if it was just a misspelling on the script here. But I thought, no, JD's really diligent about that stuff, so I doubt it. But that's really funny to know that.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting, and that was one of the things I learned from listening to that little BTS segment. So again, there's a link in the show notes. It starts about 7:45 in, so if you want to hear just that part, you can skip to that point. But again, the link is in the show notes. And some of the standout scenes to me was the one particular storm while they're on the ship, and everything is just like going all over the place, and they almost lost a guy overboard. And I thought that was probably one of the best scenes in the whole audio drama.
Oh yeah, that was excellent and really cool. It was done really well, I thought. And you always can tell that audio drama is done right when you get upset or when you feel the emotion towards the characters. Like, what is this knucklehead doing going out on the ship?
Yeah.
In the middle of a storm, like a dummy, right? So.
And I did forget to mention that a little bit back before they actually get on the ship, they they have to deal with this guy who is a complete snake, Mr. Cushman.
Yeah.
And like they're trying to just to get follow, you know, what they think they need to do to escape this persecution. And this guy is just really taking advantage of them. Just like the terms of their agreement to get them to America. And oh my goodness, I could not believe it. The guy was just a complete, I don't know, just really taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah, and I thought that one term of the agreement that stood out to me that I thought, that's just crazy, is that the way they split it up was the profit from 5 of the 7 days of the week from their work. So they work for 5 days essentially for the company, and they work for 2 days for themselves. So they have 2 days to supply their own needs and 5 days to pay, you know, to supply profits to the company, which I thought was like craziness. But, you know, hey, they had to do what they had to do to escape this persecution that they were under. So,
yeah. It really makes me respect the Pilgrims or the Puritans or whatever you want to call them a little bit more than I had had before hearing this. But one thing to note is the language is a bit antiquated, which may be hard for some folks to follow, but it's still really enjoyable. Just keep that in mind as you're going into it. But I didn't see that as a detriment. I think they took that approach because they were trying to really stay true to that time.
Right. And just back to what you were saying about the language that they use, I thought it was really interesting because they never called them Puritans, which is correct, because the Puritans were the group that stayed in England and worked to purify the Church of England. And the Separatists were this group that said that there was no hope to alter the way that the Church was and just left, which is why they were called Separatists and Dissidents. So I thought it was really neat that they didn't fall into kind of the trap that I've seen a lot of people fall into in discussing this period when they call them Puritans, because that's not really what they were. It's not genuinely what they were.
And I even recall in school having them referred to by that title. So it's interesting. Some of the standout performances, I think, even though he was a very small role, and I think it only a couple of scenes, but the kid who played William Button.
Yeah, he did a really good job. I only remember hearing him once.
Chad Cochran is his name. William Brewster was George Fennell. And Mr. Cushman, that dirtbag, he was played by Adam, I believe it's Fumia. I'm not 100% sure on the pronunciation there. And Governor Bradford was played by Robert Mackey. So a really good cast. The CRT takes an approach where they have a core cast and they all play multiple characters and try to change their voice up a little bit as they do each one. And they did a really, really good job. And one other thing that I really want to mention is that I thought it was really cool. One part of a particular scene, Jeffrey Gage worked into the score the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. So it was kind of like worked into the background of the music.
That's awesome. I didn't even notice that was in there. So that's really cool.
So it's a very educational production. Highly recommend it. Younger kids may get a little caught off guard by the antique way of speaking.
Yes.
But school age kids, you know, middle school and on, I think it's a great production that you should really check out. Links in the show notes. It is available on multiple different platforms, iTunes, Christian Book distributors, and Amazon. The pricing is different in each place, so we'll have links to all depending on where you prefer to shop, but those are in the show notes.
I think you summed it up perfectly. It's a great show. It's not very long, so it's a great one to just, you know, catch snippets of here and there or whatever. I would add it to the library of things to listen to around Thanksgiving time.
Absolutely. Well, as I said at the top of the show, I want to introduce you to a brand new series that we'll be launching very, very soon. It's called Shadows and Daylight, and it's produced by Green Streams Studios from our northern neighbor in Canada. We're just going to balance things out a little bit in this episode. We had a very U.S.-centric review segment, so yeah. let's go north of the border here for a little while. But it's produced by Christopher Green, and he's joining us now to give us a little bit of an inside scoop and kind of an introduction to this new series. Thank you so much for joining us, Christopher.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I heard about this series a few months ago, and I can't remember if I reached out to you or if you reached out to me first, but we kind of connected, and you told me what you guys had planned, and I was very intrigued by the fact that you were creating I would say that it's quite an undertaking. I mean, you're working with a full cast, going all out on the sound design and composing original music. Because I've mentioned this in the past also, that a lot of independent audio drama these days, they also just use a lot of royalty-free music that can be found online. But you guys are going all out and creating all original score. So kudos to you guys for the audacity to go ahead and do something of such high quality.
Yeah, thanks. In terms of the music that you mentioned there, it works out very well for us. Greenstream Studio is, at its core, is a family-run studio. So that being said, my sister Natasha composes all of the scores herself. She is currently studying to be a music teacher and everything. So she's done music for productions I've worked on before, such as one that Audio Theater Central's talked about before, I'm pretty sure, would be the Ceiling Fan podcast. So some of your audience might be familiar with that.
Sure, yeah. Well, in regards to Shadows and Daylight, can you tell us what the premise or the theme of this series is, and maybe why the name?
For sure, yeah. It's a bit difficult to try and synopsize the whole premise, but I'll try and give the gist of it. The reason why it is a bit more difficult is because, unlike most of the audio dramas I know, I'm speaking mostly from experience with shows like Odyssey and stuff. Shadows and Daylight is very much, I don't want to use the term soap opera because there's so much connotation with that. But what I mean is it has a very ongoing, each episode kind of flows into the next one. It's more like one long story rather than individual stories. That being said, it's a mystery series, and it does take place in my home country, Canada, in a fictitious town called New Dublin, which is a sort of Irish-French kind of founded area, which there is a lot of in Canada. It kind of revolves around some, you know, mysterious clues that are being uncovered about two rival gangs who fought each other years ago in the town. But there's little indications that are turning up that the gang war that had been fought there, that they thought was over, never really ended. It just kind of went behind the scenes. And it's there's a lot more to it to that, but I don't want to give too much away. But yes, it's very much a sort of modern day detective story.
Very cool.
Yeah, basically, I would say the titles are always difficult. I find that's usually one of the longest things to figure out. But yeah, the title was basically a lot of the premise deals with a lot of the truth and the lies that are commonly known in the area about just the town itself, the people there, what they think is going on and what isn't going on. And there's, I would say, darker moments to the story, and there's a lot of redemptive moments to the story. So I think that's where it's just a contrast of that, you know, the good versus evil, the truth, the lies, the shadows, and the daylight, and just the fact that they're uncovering this mystery out of the shadows and bringing it to the daylight, essentially.
Very cool. Yeah, I've heard some other independent productions in the past, and well, let me say it this way. I love the approach to the title of the series, and you actually put some thought into it, and it grabs your attention. It really is it's really intriguing when you hear that name. So I think it works really well, and I've heard some in the past and seen productions where it's like, man, you didn't really think through that and that naming right there. You probably could have consulted with a few people, but I love that you guys actually put some consideration into it.
Yeah, I probably spent close to a month just figuring out the name itself. I'm very picky with names on productions like that, and I have a fairly hard, fast rule that I won't name anything after a character or a location in the series. Because, you know, that always bugs me when you see a movie comes out and it's called something like Bill. It's like, that doesn't tell me anything about the plot. So, you know. Yeah.
Can you give us a sort of introduction to a couple of the main characters in the story?
Yeah, absolutely. The story itself, I would say, is a bit of a, is progressively more of a, an ensemble cast, but there is one character that I would say, especially in the beginning, sort of is our main focus, and that would be 20-something Winter O'Brien. She's sort of a ambitious detective in the making. She works on an unofficial level with the local police, which is a very small police force, very much a small town, not to draw too many comparisons, but maybe kind of like a Andy Griffith, you know, Mayberry-sized town, if you know what I'm talking about, with a small police force like that, just like a couple guys. Then there's the police chief himself, Stephen, who she works with a fair deal, and his son, Matt, who is also a cop wannabe, if you will, who is very upset by the fact that this person who has nothing to do with the police force, Winter, is being able to solve cases a lot better than he can. So they're both kind of ambitious for the same role, if you will. A lot of the other characters, I would say, there's a lot of family dynamics in the sense that a lot of the other characters are either relatives of Winters or old friends or even old enemies that kind of seem to be showing up at random. Another one of the mainstay characters would be Winter's cousin, Red, who is visually impaired, which is semi-autobiographical for myself, having dealt with certain vision issues in the past. But it's also, she also lends herself to a very good device for audio drama in that she's put in the same position we are in that we can't see what's going on and neither can she. So it lends itself well to being able to bring certain indications across.
Well, it sounds exciting and I can't wait to dive into it a little more. In fact, I have heard a preliminary version of your pilot episode, and I thought it was great stuff, really good storytelling. So we're really excited for where this is going.
Thank you.
But can you tell us like what the schedule might look like for season one, and maybe what you anticipate the seasons will look like in terms of how many episodes each season will have, and the episode length, and what you're looking at as a release schedule going forward?
Yeah, in regards to the schedule, episode one will be coming out September 28th. On shadowsanddaylight.weebly.com. You can also go to greenstreamstudio.ca to find out information and announcements on that as well. From what I understand, that will be today by the time the audience listens to this episode of ATC. I won't mention too many specifics as for the season one schedule because when a show is starting out, production is always a tad slower at the beginning, and then once you get into the rhythm of things, it gets faster. But I can say that both episodes 2 and 3 are already in post-production right now, and the majority of the rest of the season has already been recorded. So episode 2 and 3 won't be too far behind. I would say that we're probably looking at both the first, all three first episodes coming out before the end of the year. In terms of that, once we get a more of a rhythm to it, I'd like to see probably about once a month a new episode coming out.
Awesome. With that in mind, with your production schedule, can you tell us a bit about the team that's behind this?
Yeah, for sure. As I said before, Greenstream Studio at its core is a family studio. So actually, as a matter of fact, the green in Green Streams does come from our last name, Green. And so that being said, a lot of the crew that I work with is actually my family, but we've always been a media family. But yeah, so I mean, I'm doing the sound design and everything and the writing. I don't do a lot of acting on the show. I have done acting before, but I'm really kind of taking a backseat to that. But I'm, yeah, directing and everything. But also my father actually plays the police commissioner, Stephen Delaney. And my brother plays his son. So we actually have the father and son playing father and son. So it actually works well for the dynamic. And those two particular characters have probably, I would say, the the comedic relief subplot for most of it, which is a really kind of fun dynamic there. As I said, my sister does the music, and she does quite a fine job with it. She does music for two other audio dramas, like I said, the Ceiling Fan podcast, another audio drama we produce called The Jimmy, Sam, and Tommy Show. All different styles of music in this case, but definitely her signature sound. But yeah, outside the family itself, we have a few friends of the family. I got to say the casting was different for this show than any show I've ever worked on, sort of led to the people. And some of them I had spoken to maybe once before. In one case, we actually got someone who I had never met before. And in actuality, I have never met face to face yet. So, and that would be Sierra, who plays Lay Christian in the show, who you'll come to meet in the first episode. She actually lives down in the States, probably the only person who's not Canadian working on the show. But she does an excellent job, so it's very... very blessed to be working with her. And it's interesting because, like you guys were mentioning earlier in the show about varying levels of acting skill on different productions, I would say that in our case, no one's necessarily a professional actor or actress. Some of them do have more experience than others, but it's been really interesting to see everybody do better, a lot better than I expected initially, really kind of surprising me. One girl who plays the character of Red, Winter's cousin, has been doing film acting with my sisters, and they produce short films together. They've been doing it for a number of years now, so she kind of translated that over to this as well.
Well, I'm really excited for this series, and I think our listeners will be interested in checking it out. So I want to thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us and give us this little inside scoop.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys letting me come on the show and ramble away.
Thank you so much. Now, this series is going to be dealing with some more mature themes, so I would recommend it more for teens and above. The younger children may it may not be quite the material for them, but we're going to go ahead and give you a little bit of a sample scene that Christopher has given us the permission to play here on the show to give you kind of a taste of some of the things that will be addressed in this series. Here we go.
Winter?
Yes?
You're disappointed, aren't you?
No.
Oh, come on. You know you are.
Red, I don't believe in failure.
I know.
Only the potential for success.
Do you have to be so positive?
What'd you say?
Never mind.
No. What'd you say?
Look, just forget about it, okay?
Fine. Okay. I'm glad that the case with Mr. Denvers is over. Well, at least it's over for us. But I am going to miss all the excitement. Oh my, the excitement's not over yet.
Winter, what's wrong?
There's a body on my porch.
What?
She's alive. She's still breathing.
Then why does she smell so bad?
Because she's drunk?
Lovely. So some girl got drunk and passed out on your doorstep? Why here?
I don't know why, but I do know who she is.
Love that music there at the
end. Yeah, me too. I think the music is really good.
So there's a little taste of Shadows and Daylight. I hope that piques your interest, and there are links in the show notes if you want to go check that out as well. Last thing I wanted to mention real quickly is a short form audio drama produced by Saturday Morning Media, and there's a link in the show notes to a post on the website at audiotheatercentral.com, which kind of goes into more detail on this series. It's a fun little series. It's a Western audio drama, but with a twist. It's for younger kids, and it is all told from the perspective of being underwater in a river, and all the characters are fish.
That sounds really interesting.
It's very funny. There's a lot of puns in it, which I love. And it really, I mean, if you're a fan of old-time radio westerns, You're gonna really get a kick out of this one. So let's go ahead and play. Here's a promo for The Tales of Deputy Guppy.
Howdy, my name is Deputy Guppy. And this here is my seahorse Cactus. We just wanted to bend your ear for a minute and tell you about our show that's part of the Saturday Morning Theater podcast. It's called The Tales of Deputy Guppy, and it's chock full of classic Western adventure stories for the whole family. Yes, Cactus, seahorses can listen to it too. Yep, if you thought the West was wild, the rivers of the West were even wilder. So scurry on over to www.SaturdayMorningTheater.com and find out how you can rustle yourself up a subscription. Or you can search for Saturday Morning Theater in the iTunes Music Store and subscribe there. Either way, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss a minute of the two-finned action that's coming your way as part of The Tales of Deputy Guppy.
So as I said, it is geared more for younger listeners, obviously, but I still enjoyed listening to the episodes. It's a lot of fun. So again, link in the show notes for a full review on the blog and links to every single episode. You might want to check that one out.
So what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got to email this.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
It is that time again. Let's dive into the mailbag.
Awesome. So first we have an email from Michael. And he says, I thought I should mention that keysforkids.net, that is keysforkids.net, now has the content that used to be found on hiskids.net, which is no longer up and running, and was previously mentioned on your show as a way of listening to the free weekly episode of The Pond, and can be used to listen to other shows discussed on your show like Paws and Tails, as well as Kids Corner. Very handy to know that, because I was not aware of that.
Yeah, and I knew that they had gone through a rebranding over there at used to be CBH Ministries, and then they went changed over to Keys for Kids Ministries. They're the ones that produce Red Rock Mysteries, and they were the ones behind the HisKids.net programming. Well, so with that rebranding of CBH Ministries, they also rebranded that streaming service. So
the website looks the same, in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
Functions the same as well. So it's just a different URL. No biggie.
But thank you, Michael, for bringing that up so we could be sure to mention that for everybody else, because completely spaced it out. So thank you.
One final note on that is that if you're unaware of it and you do try to go to hiskids.net, you just get redirected to the new keysforkids.net. So you'll end up there regardless, which is awesome. Somebody was thinking.
Yeah, they had all the bases covered. Well, next up, we got an email from Aaron, and he said, I was wondering if you guys had ever heard of Patch the Pirate. I've heard a lot of your podcast episodes, and I don't believe you have mentioned it. It is a Christian audio drama for kids, and it started 35 years ago, and they have done about one every year. They're an hour long and are filled with great, very high-quality songs. Granted, the acting and the stories are not the best in the world, but I think they're still worth checking out. They're definitely family-friendly. So, I have heard of Patch the Pirate. I don't remember where I first heard of it, and I believe a listener has mentioned it to us in the past, but I have never actually listened to any of their programming. Have you, Andrew?
No, I've never even heard of them until just now, so we learn something new every episode, generally.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll definitely be checking those out, because 35 years they've been going, that's pretty good. Track record. So if you want to check those out, we'll put a link in the show notes as well, and we'll give them a listen. We'll see if we can't reach out to them and get some BTS info for you guys, like we always try to bring.
Of course.
So thank you, Aaron.
And Victoria left a comment on our blog on episode 67, which was our previous episode featuring with Lee and Virginia from the folks over at Heirloom Audio. And she says, great episode as always. I really enjoyed this drama, as Civil War is one of my favorite parts of history. One of you mentioned that you thought the guy singing on their way to battle sounded like Jess Harnell, and that you didn't know who actually sang. It was Sean Astin's character, Colonel Stewart. Sean Astin was the one who sang the song. I would also like to mention that perhaps the drama might be a bit intense for younger listeners. I really support Heirloom Audio. However, I do think they should mention that in their dramas like Focus on the Family does. Just a thought. Thanks, guys. Victoria. I feel like we mentioned that, didn't we? It could be a bit intense for younger listeners, so.
I think we did.
They didn't.
Yeah, they right. don't. They don't have any kind of a disclaimer on the production itself.
I'm kind of torn on this, to be honest. Maybe it's because my daughter isn't old enough to actually listen yet, but I do feel like, yes, it's intense for sure, but it's also history. So I'm kind of torn on this one. I don't know. Maybe they should add some kind of blurb at the beginning, but I don't know.
Yeah, I've kind of gone back and forth about this myself, and so that's why I wanted to bring it up here, because I'd love to hear what you think. And because, I mean, I personally, I didn't think it was that, you know, I don't know. I'm an adult, so it didn't.
Right.
I've never heard it as a kid.
It didn't register on me, exactly.
So I'm not sure. And I've got the CD copy in my hand right now, and on the back it says ages 6 to adult. So
right. And I do have to be honest that I, our family has listened to, and I'm not putting this out there as a recommendation from us because it's not strictly family friendly in the strictest sense of what we promote here. But we've listened ever since I can remember. We've listened to Louis L'Amour audio dramas and old time radio audio dramas that were fairly intense. Things like The Shadow. And yes, there was one Shadow episode that I still remember as being very scary, but it was called The Devil Takes a Wife, in case you're interested, but it was very scary. And I don't remember anything but that it opened with some random woman screaming. So that was a little scary, but I think I was probably 7, right? So I don't know. I don't think that it's necessarily needed or mandatory. Especially since this is history and the main focus is not the action and the violence, but the main focus is the telling of a good story. So yeah. I go back and forth. I don't know.
I mean, I've been listening to these kind of stories, the same ones that you mentioned, for as long as I can remember too. So it's never bothered me, although I do remember I had a similar experience to you. I remember listening to an episode of The Hermit's Cave again.
Ooh,
don't necessarily yes. endorse all of those episodes, but I remember hearing one and it really creeped me out when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. And thankfully we stayed away from the mystery shows until I got a little older in general. You know, The Shadow was one we generally accepted, but because most of the time it wasn't that bad.
Sure.
But I just remember that being as a standout to me. It was like, oh, that's kind of scary. But
I guess it comes into the realm of if the parents are really sensitive about it, then maybe they should just screen everything before the kids hear it, you know?
Right. Right. I agree.
But our target audience here for this show of Audio Theater Central is kind of like the high school and college age fan and an adult fan of audio drama, not necessarily kids.
Right.
So, or young, not necessarily young children, I guess I should say. So the stuff that we mention and bring up here is not always going to be, you know, the greatest thing for a 5-year-old to listen to.
Right. Yeah.
Well, with that being said, we want to thank Victoria, Aaron, and Michael for the feedback. And thank you very much for listening to this episode. Be sure to join the ATC Insiders, as we will periodically update you on all that's going on here. And you might even get heads up on things that are coming up in the future. So there is a link in the show notes, as well as on the sidebar of the website, which will allow you to join that for free. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we would love to hear from you. Go to audiotheatercentral.com/contact, and all of the ways to reach us are listed there. Lastly, the show notes for everything we talked about, which will include links, images, and everything else, is at audiotheatercentral.com/68. We will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Audio Theater Central is a production of Porchlight Family Media. PorchlightFamilyMedia.com. Well, that was fun.
Yes, it was. And our jokester's gone.
We're missing two segments.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, real quickly, I want to mention that International Podcast Day is on September 30th of every year. If you're listening to this at the time of release, keep an eye on the ATC feed for a special episode on International Podcast Day. And also, I was just recently interviewed on the blog of our listener, Christopher. Not the same Christopher that we interviewed in this episode, but he interviewed me about Porchlight Family Media and Audio Theater Central and all that we've got going on here and kind of got the backstory. And so if you're interested in that, there is also a link in the show notes for that interview. Just lost my train of thought. It jumped the track.
Hi, I'm Christopher Green. I'm talking into a microphone because that's what microphones are for.